Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated and tell your neighbor, never settle. And want to welcome all those who are going to watch this on our program, A Heart After God, as well as listen on podcasts. You're in the room with us. Amen. Well, let me start here. I'm going to build a little runway. Give me about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to just kind of recap to bring us all on the same page. And then I'll kind of jump into today's text. But we kind of agreed upon this last week. You know, we realized that if you've lived a little, how many know that sometimes it's easy to start, but it's hard to start again once you stopped? You know, like when you're on a roll, it's like, you know, boom, 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 boom. But when you stop, it's hard to start again. This is true when it comes to the gym. This is true when it comes to your diet. Come on, somebody. Once you get one donut, there goes two, there goes three. And next thing you know, you find yourself with a 12-pack of donuts, in and out. Come on, somebody. And a bag of hot Cheetos with cream cheese. All right. And you're like, how did I end up here? Right. And you're like, I can't get back on the wagon. And so it's hard. It's hard to start again once you stopped. And I even share this, that even in our spiritual walk sometimes, you know, sometimes I understand that it's hard to start again when you stop. For example, you know, when you get to the place, you know, of even in your devotional time, you know, maybe you're doing a daily devotional and you're good for 20 days, 25 days, 30 days, and the devotional time is good, but then you stop and you're like, oh man, it's hard for me to get back on the wagon. Or maybe you're coming to church and you're like, man, I'm on a roll. I've been coming, you know, 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row, five, and then you stop and you're like, it's kind of hard for me to get back on that wagon and attend church again. And I just want to say this right now, before you beat yourself up, you condemn yourself, listen, it's okay to stop. And what I mean by that is I'm not saying don't come to church. What I'm saying is don't beat yourself up as you're some terrible person. It's okay to stop, get healed, but it's not okay to settle. Come on, somebody, say amen. Okay, we got to get back on that wagon and get back where God wants to take us. Because I don't believe that God designed us. He didn't die on the cross and he didn't rise again so that we could just settle in a place of our hurts, settle in a place of our habits, our hangups. But God died so that we wouldn't settle in any grave situation. But as he got out, so can we get out. Come on, somebody, and get to the place God has for us. Tell your neighbor, say, never settle. Come on, tell them, say, never settle. This is important because I believe that the verses we just read, that in this text, God is trying to show us and speak to us the principles of what can happen when we can settle, and how the destiny of Terah was lost because he settled, so the same can happen to any one of us, that the destiny that God speaks into our hearts can be forfeited because we choose to settle when we should saddle up and still go to where God called us to be. You see, Terah, the Bible says, had it in his heart. Let me work the context here a little bit. But Terah had it in his heart, the Bible says, to go to Canaan. Now, the scriptures does not pull back the curtain that God spoke to him to go to Canaan. But all we know is that Terah decided to go to Canaan. We don't know, again, if it was the Lord, but it was something inside him that decided to go to Canaan. Why was Canaan significant? Canaan was a place of abundance. Canaan represented a place of fruitfulness, prosperity, blessing. And all we know is that inside of Terah's mind, he's like, you know what? I need to get to a better place. And I believe that inside of him was a God fingerprint, because we're all made in the image of God. And I believe every single one of us has that. Even before you knew the Lord, some of you, something inside of you told you there has to be more than this. Even before you ever stepped foot in a church, something spoke to you, says there has to be more than what I'm seeing. There got to be more than just seeing my family always argue, always bicker, always fight. There has to be more than always being broke, always being addicted, always being depressed. There has to be, at least that was for me. I remember as a young kid, single mom raising five boys, my dad, who was an alcoholic, addicted to drugs, a gambling man, you know, he left my mom. And I always remember saying, there has to be more. Before God, I received salvation, there was a God fingerprint in me that there has to be more. And I believe the reason you come to church, the reason you pray, the reason you got saved is because something told you there's more. And I want to tell you, there is more. There is more. Come on, somebody. There is more. Somebody say amen. And so Terah was like, I'm going to Canaan. And so the scripture says that he got his family, he got everybody, and he began his journey to go to the place of Canaan, which represents, you know, the place of abundance, blessing, and a place of opportunity. But the scripture says that he ended up stopping in Haran. We know it's because his son Haran had died. And the scripture tells us that he stopped, which again, it's okay to stop. But the tragedy was that he settled. And we read the end of the text, he ended up dying in Haran. And we can deduct from the scripture that he settled in the place of hurt. And what I know is this, the same thing that stops us is never the same thing that causes us to settle. Haran stopped because his son died, but he settled because he was hurt. He ran out of, he got the wind knocked out of him. And it wasn't like Terah didn't want to go to Canaan. It wasn't like, you know, he didn't train hard enough and he ran out of, you know, got tired and ran out of gas in the sixth round like McGregor, you know. You know we had to throw it in there somewhere. Sorry. Okay, get focused now. We all got it out of our spirit. Okay, now we can just talk about the Bible. Okay, good. All right. You know it's going to come out somewhere. There it is. Okay. All right, focus. He wanted to go. Terah wanted to take his family to the place of Canaan. But he stopped at the place of Haran because his son died. But the problem is he settled there. And what I've come to realize is that when it comes to settling, it's not that life doesn't throw things at us that cause us to stop, because it's okay to stop. If your child dies, if a tragedy happens, it's okay. But the tragedy is when you decide to settle there. Because it's one thing to stop, but a whole different thing to settle. And here's the question that I want to dig in a little deeper this morning with you about Freedom House Church is this. What place of hurt have you settled in? What place of hurt have you settled in? I know something happened, but I don't think it's the thing that happened that caused you to stop, but it's staying in that hurt that is still holding you there. What unforgiveness are you settling in? What offense are you? What hopelessness? What have you held on to that is causing you to hold you trapped? Because for Terah, it wasn't that he lost something that killed the God vision in his life, but it's that he decided to settle and never move on from that place of hurt. What hurt have you settled in? What have you seen that perhaps has caused you to get stuck in a settle? Because if we don't get healed from the hurt, the tragedy is you'll spend the rest of your life in that place of hurt. And God didn't die to leave us there. He died to take us to where he called us to be. Somebody clap like you believe God wants to heal you. Say amen. I want you to write this down because I want to talk to you. How do I pick up again when I feel like I'm stuck in a Haran or a hurtful situation? Write this down. We're going to do some work this morning. Point number one. Let me teach this. If we're going to move on from our place of Haran, is you have to listen to your hurt, but lead with what God spoke into your heart. You've got to listen to your hurt, but you have to lead with what God spoke into your heart. Because, see, the temptation is to do the opposite, which is to lead with your hurt and simply listen as a whisper of what could be of what God speaks into your heart. And so many people lead with their hurt. They let their hurt lead them, and that's what causes them to settle. They let their emotions, I'm going to tell you right now, emotions make great companions, but they're terrible leaders. Emotions don't care about your future. They only care about your present. Emotions don't care about where God wants to take you. Emotions are like, I need to tell him how right I am. Do you want to be right or do you want to get healed and do you want to move forward? Who am I talking to this morning? Because he stayed in Haran. He stayed in his hurt. He got the wind knocked and never moved forward. And there are so many people that they get stuck in their hurt. And this morning, when I say listen to your hurt, I'm talking about realizing and realizing that there's a place that you got hurt. There's a place that you need to deal with. And I'm not suggesting that you ignore the difficulty. I'm not suggesting that you ignore where the place that was a tragedy. But I am suggesting is that you get healed of it. I was talking to my wife about this. She goes, it's a powerful transformational thought because we've all heard messages of just keep going. Just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. And listen, that's great, yes, but if you don't get healed, if you don't properly deal, it's okay to stop and say, I need to get healed of this. I need to deal with this tragedy. I need to let God heal it. If you don't get healed properly, you're going to end up later in life wondering why that came back to bite you. And 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you didn't realize, but your marriage stopped at that place. The love stopped there. The power stopped there. The anointing stopped there because you settled at a place of hurt that you never got healed. And I've seen this happen to so many believers. That's why they don't make the distance, because you've heard. And again, I'm not belittling messages, but just keep going. Suck it up. Listen, no. Get healed. Stop and get healed. And then don't settle there. Bring it to God and say, Lord, I need to get healed of this. Because if you don't get healed properly, it catches up to you later in life, in your spiritual walk. I know this process. Let me move on. I'll get to this for a second. Because, see, God does not suggest that you ignore it, but he does suggest that you get healed from it. Let me tell you how good God is. You want to know how good God is? God is so good. Watch this. This is so good. This is good. God is so good that he says, bring to me your mess. Because let's be honest. How many friends you have that they say, just bring to me all your mess? God is so good. He's like, bring to me the picture you didn't post, didn't make the filter. God says, bring to me your mess. You see, friends want your best. But you know, your job says, bring your best. Don't bring nothing else. Nothing less. People even expect, you better bring, don't give me that. Don't give me none of that. Don't bring none of your junk to me. But God is so good that he says, bring me your mess. Bring me the junk. Bring me the baggage. Bring me the hang-up. Bring me the hurt. Bring me the thing that you need to get healed from. God says, bring me that. Because when God, I believe God is saying, when he can deal with that, then the rest is for real. The rest is out of abundance. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Psalms 147 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. It says, he heals the brokenhearted. And what does he do? He binds up their wounds. I want to show you this in scripture. God heals the brokenhearted. When the Bible says he binds up their wounds, that means God is with you for the process. He's with you for the journey. He binds up your wounds and says, hey, how's it doing? How's it going with that? Let's get you healed. Because if you don't get healed, you'll always stay at the place of hurt. You'll settle. You'll settle. You'll settle. In your walk with God, you'll settle in your relation, in your marriage. You'll settle, you know, you'll just boop, right there. God says he heals the brokenhearted. The Bible says in Psalms 34 and verse 18, watch this now, the Lord is close to the who? I thought the Lord was only close to those who are doing awesome. No, he's close to who? Brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in their spirit. God is like, I want to say, if you've been crushed in spirit, you know, you thought they were the one, but they ended up being the crazy one. Come on, somebody. God's like, I want to save your crushed spirit. You thought that was going to be the business idea, but only it falling. God's like, I want to save your crushed dream. You thought that was, God's like, I'm close to the, I'm trying to show you, and I want to show you this through scripture, is that God is into healing the hurt, because if you don't heal properly, then you'll never get headed back to your place of Canaan. Watch 1 Peter 5, 7, the Bible says, cast some of your anxiety. What does it say? Cast what? All your anxiety on who? Him, because he what? He cares for you. God is saying, bring me all your junk. Bring me all the real stuff. Bring me the stuff that you don't even want to deal with. Bring me the stuff that you don't post on Facebook. God says, bring me the stuff that you don't even want to talk about. God's like, bring me this. Bring it to him. As David said, pour out your heart before God. Bring it to him. Why? Because this is the real stuff. And let me just tell you, you would think that a lot of people do this, but so many people have been so good at being professional Christians that they don't get healed. They just fake happiness. Talk to me, somebody. We become professional Christians, which is like, no, we go to church and we got to pretend like everything's good and smile. Because when you, I'm going to get up all in your kitchen, but I'm going to cook you a good breakfast right now, okay? Or what time is it, brunch? I'm going to cook you a good brunch. Because the truth is, listen now, when you deal with the real hurts, things get ugly. Ladies, you might lose an eyelash. I don't want to lose my eyelash. I worked hard to put this thing on. And so watch this now. Your breakthrough, because you don't want to get healed. Guys, we don't want to let our guard down. And so no healing happens because, you know what, you know, I got to show everybody like it's all good. You know, it's all good. I can't let them think like everything's not good and it's good. And so your pride keeps you from your breakthrough. God wants to heal you because when you really get down to it, when you really get in that place, it's a messy thing. You see, I know this process because to get healed is allowing sometimes you to go through pain. I played college football. When I was playing college football, I tore my ACL, my MCL. I busted my whole left knee. If you see me walking with a limp, it's not because I'm from the hood. I messed up my knee, okay? Like, man, Pastor Smith, no, come on, somebody. I messed up my knee. And so, but I'll never forget that when I messed up my knee, I had to go through therapy. So they put, you know, they fixed up my knee. And I'll never forget what the doctor told me. He says, we have to put you in therapy. And we are going to have to bend your knee. It's going to hurt. But we have to bend your knee because there's this thing called scar tissue. And if scar tissue builds up, it will lock your leg and you'll never have the full motion that your leg was intended to be. In other words, if you don't get healed right, you will be hurt for the rest of your life. So I had to sit there, and they would force bend my knee. Some dudes are passing out. I was like, ah. And I went through some pain because I realized if I don't go through this, scar tissue is going to hinder my mobility, and my life will lock up. Oh, someone's going to get it. Somebody's going to get it. And the truth is, God is saying to some of us, because we don't want to go through that process of getting healed, and that's why your marriage is locked up, your life is locked up, your family's locked up, your breakthrough's locked up, your relationship with God is locked up, it's because you don't want to go. And so you have spiritual scar tissue, but God says, I didn't create you to lose mobility, I created you to step into a new dimension. Come on, who am I talking to? I designed your marriage to thrive, not survive. Come on, I designed your family to go from glory to glory, but it's going to take you having to get healed of a hurt and deciding not to settle. Somebody give God a clap like you ain't going to settle this morning. God does not ignore your hurt. Why would he expect you to? He wouldn't expect you to pretend like it's not there. God wants you to get healed. God is into getting you healed, not medicated. God is not blind to your tears, not deaf to your prayers, not silent to your pain. People will hurt you. Life will humiliate you. But listen to me. God will heal you. But you got to bring it to him. You got to deal with it. And you got to step into it. Someone clap like we're about to get healed in Jesus' name. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. I know I'm getting fired, but this is real stuff because you have no idea how many people have settled in their hurt. Settled in. I'll always be angry at them. When he did that, we'll never be in love like we used to. You settled in your hurt. Church will never be awesome like it used to. My family will be settled in your hurt. I'll never succeed because you got let down one time. You settled in your hurt. See, there are no good guys out there. No, he just wasn't good. There's good guys out there. I got a good amen down there. Appreciate it. Settled in your hurt. This stuff is subtle. It's subtle because your hurt and so you settle. It happens in marriages all the time. They get hurt. Like, I'm not talking to him. He could talk to me. See, walk in the fridge. I'm not saying a word. And then he's thinking the same thing. I ain't saying nothing. Night one goes by. Night two, same thing. I'm angry. Angry too. He tries to test the water, so he touches your toes in the bed. You're like, don't touch my toes. Come on, somebody. You're settled and you're hurt. But see, the tragedy is one day turns into 1 week, 1 week turns into 1 month. Terah dies in Haran. Next thing you know, you realize, my God, a year has passed. Man, it's been about 5 years since we've really been on a vacation together. Next thing you know, how many Christmases have gone by? I haven't even seen my father. It just becomes normal, but it's not. Oh, man, I feel an anointing on this. And it almost seems like, well, this is normal, you know. I don't want to see him. And it becomes normal. I'm not going to the first service because they'll be there. I'll go to the second service. Help us, Lord. They don't want to hear it, God, but I'm going to preach it because you told me to, Lord. I'm not going to go to the barbecue. They're going to be there. Woo! If you could just feel what I feel right now, I could cut the atmosphere with a knife. And it becomes, Haran becomes normal. Haran becomes normal. You just kind of operate that way. You learn to kind of work with the scar tissue. When God never did, he did not die on a cross. He did not rise again for his people to settle in hurt. Come on, somebody. If the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you, what is it going to do? It's going to quicken. It's going to move your mortal body. In other words, something spiritual is acted out in your flesh that even your physical body has to operate in what's happening on the inside. So I got to bring healing. I got to move. And I got to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. If somebody's going to refuse to settle, give God a clap right now. And let everybody know this morning that we're going to get healed and move. You see, God wants to. You see, the tragedy that happens when we settle, it ends up happening as you live in there. And y'all heard the saying, let time will heal. No, it doesn't. Sounds cute, not biblical. Time does not heal. Matter of fact, time will make it worse if you don't get healed. I couldn't go to my knee and say, hey, time will make it better. No, actually, the clock was ticking. Time would make it worse. And I'm just here to try to encourage somebody. Time does not heal. God heals. And we've got to bring our hurts, our hangups, our habits, because, come on, I got to bring it to God, because I'm not planning to die in Haran. I ain't going out like this. I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to live in the land of, come on, help me this morning. I want to go to where God has called me to go. Come on. See, some of us, we're already planning our funeral. Stop planning to die. Stop saying it's always going to be like this. No, it's not always going to be like that, because God can heal. God can restore. God can bring the breakthrough. God can bring the miracle. God can bring only what he can bring if you'll bring it to him in Jesus' name. Tell three people, bring it to God. Tell, bring it to God. For 205 years, Terah settled there. Watch this now. I call it, there were two tragedies that happened. There were two things. I call it the devil's double defeat. The double defeat. One, his son died. But the second thing is something died inside of Terah. But that's the one we don't see. Where the second victory for the enemy was that dream that it died inside of Terah. And you have no idea how many people walk in and out of church that something's dead in here. It's dead.
because we're settled and hurt. God wants it. How does God heal you? 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Let me give you the formula, the biblical formula, the biblical pattern, shall I say, principle of how to receive healing. Anybody want to get healed? Does anybody want to get healed? Does anybody? Come on, don't just tell me. Listen, I'm tired of professional church or professional Christianity. Let's just come hear a couple good scriptures and go back to the same old, same old. I want to see revival come to every family, every person, every heart, every marriage, every community where it's like, no, I came to church to deal with the stuff so I can, come on somebody, I can get out of my hurt and start my way to where God has called me to go. Can somebody shout down the preacher and say amen? If that's you. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, the Bible says this. This is how you get healed. Okay, here it is right here. Ready? Write this verse down. Circle it in your notes. This is what the Bible says. Here's, well, Pastor, how do I get healed? Here it is. If my people who are called by my name, say that's all of us. Okay, you've been called by name. The Bible says will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And what will he do? He will heal their land. This is often used, speaking of like the country, the nation. You ought to personalize and be like, God, I want you to heal my land where I live. And in case you don't realize how personal that is, we were made from dirt, this land. Heal this land, Lord. Say, humble yourself. Pray and seek. There's the formula. Humble, pray, seek, turn, and you'll be healed. But the reason why people are not healed is not so much not praying and seeking, it's that you just not have humbled yourself. Most people are waiting for them to humble themselves. Pastor, I'll get healed when they finally come humble themselves. That's what the verse said. It said, humble yourself first. I know you don't want to hear it, but I got to preach it, Lord. I have to preach it. Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking to me. Some of you didn't even say that. You say, he's talking to you. Don't come and see what happened. You didn't even want to agree. He said, humble thyself. Meaning my breakthrough, my healing will only come when I first humble myself. When I give up my right to be right. When I'm more passionate about being healed than arguing my point. But it's like, I don't want to live in Haran anymore. I don't want to be in Haran anymore. I don't want to be in my place, sir. I don't want to be settled in a place of offense. I don't want to be settled anymore in this unforgiveness. I don't want to be settled anymore in this place of hopelessness. I don't want to be settled here in this hurt. I don't want to die like this. God, I want to get healed. Then what it's going to take is you humbling yourself and saying, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person by being smaller. I'm going to go to that service even though they're there. I'm going to go even though that they don't want to talk to me. I'm going to go talk to my spouse. No, let them come talk to me. I could carry this on for 5 years if they want. Stop it. Stop. We need you to humble yourself and to bring heal. Come on, somebody. Back to my analogy. I had to humble myself and just say, go ahead, do what you got to do, doctor. And man, these guys would bend my knee. I'd be like, you got no mother. How could you inflict so much pain? You know? It would hurt. They'd put you, some guys would pass out. There's so much pain. It's a lot of pain. They just force bend your knee, man. You know? Now, don't worry. I'm not saying that's how painful it's going to be, but sometimes people don't see their breakthrough because they're just trying to avoid pain. But here's what I realize. There's pain either direction. Either you go through the pain of getting healed or the pain of living hurt the rest of your life. I want to get healed. I hope that the reason you come to church, because God, I want to get healed. I want to get healed from that broken relationship that happened 20 years ago. God, I want to get healed from that abuse that happened, that verbal, that physical. God, I don't want to settle in the place of Haran. I want to get healed, God, from that dominating authority figure that disrespected me. God, I want to get healed, Lord, from that unforgiveness. God, I want to get healed from that offense. God, I don't want to settle. I don't want to go out like this. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do as David did, pour out your heart before the Lord. I'm not just coming to church for three songs, drop a tip in the offering basket, hear a couple good points, quotes, and then go home. God, I came here to do business with God. Heal my soul. Heal my heart. Change my mind. Here's my ugliness. Here's my brokenness. Here's who I am. Is anybody that, who am I talking to this morning? Which marriage, which young person am I talking to that is once and for all just going to say, God, here it is. Thank you, Lord. Watch what will happen when you bring that to God. Had a mentor one time tell me this. He said, son, you're only as sick as your secrets. That's what I said. I was like that, huh? What have you not talked to God about? You're only as sick as your secrets. When you said, God, I don't want to settle in my be my ceiling. I want an encounter with God. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not pretty when you go dig deep and you're like, okay. And I'm not minimizing that it hurts. That's why I love the God we serve. He says, I want to deal with the junk. And I know we don't got friends like that. Come on. God says, bring. I don't want to be sick. Write the second point, because I gave it to the first service, I gotta give it to you. How do we get healed? How do I pick up again, Lord? How do I do this? Because I don't wanna settle in my hurt, but I wanna seek my healing. Number two is you gotta have faith to begin a new chapter in his story. Someone say faith. It takes faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And a lot of times people stay in hurt. Like, why would someone stay in an abusive relationship? It's because they've learned to connect with only what they can see more than and not know how to activate their faith of what they can't see. So they stay in an abusive place because that's all they know. But I came here to awaken the faith and the God in. Someone's going to get breakthrough this morning. I don't know who, but I know this, is that when you get better, everything else gets better. When dad gets better, the family gets better. When husband gets better, the marriage gets better. When mama gets better, the family gets better. When the church gets better, the city gets better. When the people of God get better, the things get better. And when the people of God are transformed, the church is transformed. And when the church is transformed, the city will be transformed. And when the city's transformed, the state will be transformed. And when the state's transformed, the nation is transformed. And when nations are transformed, the world is transformed. But it all starts with a person willing to say, God, I'm not gonna settle. I'm not going out like this. I ain't gonna die with this bitterness. I'm not gonna die with this unforgiveness. I'm not gonna die with this nonsense. I'm gonna get healed. I'm gonna get healed. And then I'm gonna head over to my Canaan.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.